But then when we replace the shower head, we learned something, that that was not the original intent, that there was still pressure in the faucet, that the pressure was always there. But because we got so used to using this shower head the way we were, we never knew any better. We didn't even seek to find better. You see, men, after the fall, they continue living, showering with this water that is dripping. They continue living in this nature. They get so used to it that they do not realize there is better. We continue living, we continue seeking and searching, but we kind of are settled in. And the only way for God to show men that there is better is buy a new faucet and replace it, and then you realize that there is still pressure in the pipe. You see, God says, I'm going to send Jesus Christ. I'm going to come down to show you that there is better, to show you that there is a better way to live. So when Jesus comes, which is, we all know that Jesus Christ is actually God. God becomes man. And he comes to live in our midst because he has got a desire to reveal to man what man's capacity and potential is. He comes to show us who we are supposed to be. Who we originally were intended to be. Because over time, we had lived in fallenness for so long that we believed that was our nature. We believed that's all the water that comes from this particular source. But Jesus Christ comes down. And the Bible says that when he is 12 years old, he goes to the temple, and the elders are seated there. And he starts questioning them and answering their questions. And the Bible says that he gives them a lot of wisdom for his age. That he was so brilliant. He was super smart. The Bible says that he continues growing in stature and in wisdom as he grows. Because you see, when God created you and me, he created us with that particular inside of us. That it was built in us a capacity to become wise, to become super intelligent. He says he grows up in the same way. Bible says then he goes to the synagogue one day in the book of Luke. The Bible says he pulls the scriptures and then he finds himself in the scripture. He says, for the Spirit of God is upon me, for I have been anointed to break people from jail, to set people free that have been held captive. He says, this is who I am. He finds himself in the scripture. At the age of 30, the Bible says that he goes into the wilderness. He gets baptized, he goes into the wilderness. And when he comes back, the Bible says that as he walks everywhere he went, he did miracles everywhere he went. The people that met him, if you meet Jesus and you're lame, you never left where Jesus was with your lameness. You meet Jesus and you're blind. Every time you left, you could see. You meet Jesus and you have got diabetes. Every time you left, you would not have diabetes. People with leprosy meet Jesus, and because they encounter Jesus, they live without any leprosy. Listen to me. What Jesus Christ is saying is, listen, there is a supernature to man. This is who we are supposed to be. Because you see, God has created us. If you go back to the book of Genesis, the Bible says that the reason that God created man is because there was no management. Which means that God created you as a solution to a problem. So God created man. The original purpose of man was to become a solution, an answer to a need of management. And so when Jesus shows up, he shows up and he does represent to man what we were originally supposed to be. We are simply an answer. Which means that if you are in Christ Jesus, which means that if you are of God, if you are in your true nature, when you encounter a blind man, they do not live blind. That is what Jesus Christ came to live on earth, to show us who we fully were supposed to be, who we fully were meant to be. before sin. So he does his ministry for 3 years. But you see, Jesus, God had declared in the Old Testament that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Which means Jesus Christ has got to also take care of that. So number one thing he comes to show us is what we could be. Okay? That's the first thing. What could you be? He shows us. He says, this is who you're supposed to be. Number one, you're supposed to be very, very intelligent, super intelligent. You're supposed to know things. You're supposed to see things. That's why the Bible says we do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. Which means we are able to see things that people do not see. We are able to hear things that people do not hear. I wrote in your bulletin that Adam was able to communicate with inanimate objects. That is why he is engaging a snake in a conversation. God created us originally like that. That is why Jesus tells us, if you speak to this mountain and you tell it, go be cast in the ocean, it shall happen. He says, and then he demonstrates it. The Bible says that he's coming from this particular city and he's hungry. He goes to this tree and he says, I'm looking for fruit and there's no fruit. He says to the tree, listen, tree, I'm going to speak to you. And he says, he answered back to the tree, which means the tree was speaking to him, John chapter 11. And he says, dry from the roots. And the tree dries. Jesus was showing us, this is who I created you to be. This is what you could have been. Don't miss it. Because I feel like I'm winding. Then he says, at the end of his ministry, he says, listen, if you believe in me, you will do much more than I have done. Which means if you believe in me, you will take upon you your true nature. Ah. Hallelujah. See, this is, I wrote on your bulletin, I was trying to be geeky, but obviously it didn't work because I haven't received feedback. God creates human being 1.0. He creates him. The original person that he creates in his lab, he is perfect. But then a virus comes and infects this computer. And what God tries to do is to reformat you, is to bring you back to your original. Have you ever returned your phone to its company settings? Restore company settings. It means it's bringing us back to where we originally were. And where we originally were, look at Jesus. Because that's what Jesus has come to show us. He's come to leave this world and show us this is what you could do. This is who you were supposed to originally be. And then he dies on the cross so that he takes care of the barrier. Because you see, there was a barrier that was separating us from the people that we were, we could have been from the people that we were. There was a barrier. And so when Jesus dies on the cross, he takes care of that problem, which was simply sin. Remember, in the garden, what came, what tainted man, was sin. He dies on the cross to take care of sin, which means we have the capacity within us to become all that we could ever be. You missed a good place to say amen. You have within you the capacity to become all that you could ever be. The original you. Amen. That is why we celebrate Easter. Because you see, when Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, he went and picked up whatever we had lost. Because you see, when man compromised with sin, he gave away authority. He gave away authority. He gave away his power. He gave away his capacity. When Jesus Christ goes into the dead, he goes back and grasps on that. He takes back the power. He takes back the authority that was originally stolen from man. He takes it back and then he declares this. He says, listen to me, verse number 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them. And he says, all power is given to me. Listen, I have the keys, is what Jesus declares. I got you. I have got everything. The power in heaven and the power on earth. I have it all. Now go and make disciples. Now go and tell people to become all they can be, because I am the authority bearer now. You want to know how to know that Jesus Christ, that the authority was gone? Remember during the temptation of Jesus, the Bible says, Satan says to him, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the power, I'll give you the keys, I'll give you the authority, I'll give it to you all back. Which, if Jesus had bowed down, there's a possibility that Satan, but he's a liar, so let's see. He probably would have been like, fool's day. But he says to him, if you bow down to me, I will give it to you for free. You don't have to die. You don't have to go through the process. I'll give it to you. I'll give it back. That's what you came to get, is what Satan is saying. You came here to get back authority. I can give it to you for free. That is why it's a temptation. What Satan was saying to Jesus is, listen, if you bow down to me, I'm going to give you whatever it is you've come to get. I'll give it to you for free. And that's what we do many times, because we choose the easy way out. The devil says, oh, it's money you want. Money is what you want. I'm going to give you money. But you're going to lose something. Jesus chose to go through with it because he was thinking about you and me. He chose to go through with it, to go through the process unto the death for you and me. Let's go back to the scriptures. So Jesus declares, I have it. I have received it. I have legitimately gotten it back. I have gone through it and I have got the key. Again, do not miss a place to say amen. Most importantly, I pray that this, like Brother Aaron was leading worship and saying, I pray that this revelation be implanted in your spirit. That Jesus is declaring, I have received it legitimately. Now you can make everybody know it. Now you can make your brother know it. Now you can make your sister know it. Now you can tell them they can live to their fullness because I have it back. Is the declaration that Jesus is doing, is saying. And go to the next slide. Go to the next one first. Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 19 to 20. Ephesians chapter number 2. Let me see what I have here. Just go to Ephesians chapter number 2, verses number 13. Ephesians chapter number 2. It's the same book. Don't worry about what's up there. It's probably not the right one. Ephesians chapter number 2. This is what Jesus did on the cross. The first thing that he did was to reconcile us. And this is the lessons for today. Number one is reconciliation. Jesus Christ is resurrected that we may be reconciled back to the Father. See, there is a separation. This is the best demonstration I've ever gotten. There is a separation that happened between man and God, God and man. There is a separation, a delinking, if you would. We were delinked from our Father. Sin had separated us from our original person. I wrote in your bulletin that back then man would hang out with God. They would go and walk in the garden and talk. We were separated. There was nothing else in there. But then when Jesus Christ came, he came and was up there to create that, to link us back to the Father, to reconcile us back to our Maker. Verse number 13, Ephesians chapter number 3. The Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Jesus.
For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition. He has broken that down, the middle wall of partition, whatever had separated us, between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. We were separated from God. Sin had separated us. We were literally dead. But then Jesus comes and he breaks the wall of partition. And we call that the cross. He breaks the wall of partition. Whatever had separated us from God, he reconciles us back to our Maker. So when he's declaring, I have the key, I've got the power. When he says, I have the authority, I got it. He's saying, I have linked you back to the original self, which means that you can literally go for a walk in the park with the Father. Come on. You can literally embrace God. You can talk to him. You can hang out with him. You can be all that you can be. Because the partition, the wall that separated us, has been taken care of by Jesus and his work at the cross of Calvary. They show up and the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He has risen from the dead, which means he has overcome everything. And he says, he comes to his disciple and he says, I have the power. I have the authority. You guys can become all that you want and make everybody else like you. That is why after Jesus Christ, these particular disciples, they all continue following him to their death. Because they knew that he had the power. Some of them were hanged upside down. Some of them were thrown into boiling oil. Some 12 of them, each and every one, some of them were beheaded. There is a level where one of them would have cracked if Jesus did not resurrect. One of them would have been like, I don't think so, man. I'm not ready to go through this. All the 12 of them were killed, still proclaiming, he is the Lord. He is alive. He has the power. He is risen indeed, that he may reconcile you from your fallenness to your Father. And that is the good news. That is the message of salvation. Jesus Christ has reconnected me back to my Father. I can be all that I can be because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, because of the resurrection of Jesus. He has the power now. He has the power now. And he has me. The message of salvation is this. He came. He died that I may live. He came. He died so I could live. So I could become everybody. Everything that I could ever have been. The second thing that he did, number one was to reconcile us. The second thing that he did, if you want to go to the next slide, is to bring restoration to us. To bring restoration. We've talked a lot about this. Is Jesus Christ is risen so that you can be restored. So you can be restored back to your original self. Remember, children of God, we were somewhere. God had created in us the capacity, the power to speak things into being. I wrote in your bulletin, Adam named everything that you know. And he named them scientifically. I'm just kidding. He was going around and saying, this is an ant. He's saying this, we shall call it cow. He says this, this is a brain information that he had never heard of. He'd never seen. It was within himself. He was the whole man. That Jesus Christ declares, I have brought you back to wholeness. I have restored you back to your original settings. When we come into the kingdom of God, the supernatural becomes natural to us. When we walk in the kingdom of God, when people are healed, when people are, when the blind see, the deaf hear, when all these things happen, it is natural for us. It should be natural for you because of the restoration that Jesus has done. That's why we can say confidently, listen, I am going to lay my hands on this child, my daughter that's sick, because God has said it. That if I do, my child will be healed. And I know that he has the power. And not only does he have the power, he has me. He has reconciled me. He has returned me back to the place of restoration. He has restored me back to my original settings. Read with me the next chapter here. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Verse number 3. In my King James, it says it differently. But in the message Bible, it says, everything that you lost has been restored. The Bible says that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have a compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord God has scattered thee. Like I said, the Message Bible says he will restore to you everything that you've lost. Everything that you have lost. Everything that you had lost. That you originally were. He says, I will restore it. I'll bring you back to restoration. So when they show up and the tomb is empty, it is a declaration that you are restored, that you can be who you could have been. That Jesus says, I have the power, make everybody become just like me, because I have the power. Restoration. And the third and the last thing that I want to talk about is the renewal and empowerment. Renewal and empowerment. Jesus says, I have the power, therefore make disciples of all the people. Make them like me. I have the power, therefore go in authority. Go in power. Go and become. Listen. If you tell a mango seed, become. When you tell a mango seed, become. A mango seed becomes a shoot. It becomes a tree. And it gives forth fruit, which are mangoes. Okay? That's true. Because anything that a mango seed is the whole story. It is the whole tree. It is all the fruitfulness. There is a capacity that God has gotten you, a purpose that you have to accomplish on this earth. And what God says when he brings the empowerment, when he says, I have got the power, and he says, go and make disciples of all the people, he's saying, listen, go and make everybody become. Which means live to the fullest of your potential. Become. The Bible says in the next verse that we are going to read, that listen, behold, the new has come and the old has gone. We are a new creation. We are a new creature. When we are in Christ Jesus, we are a new creature. We are a new creation. When we are in Christ, it means we are in the kingdom. Which means we have been reconciled back to the Father. We have been brought in. We have been restored. And we have been re-empowered. We have been re-empowered. The original man that God created was created in his nature, in his image. He was all that he could ever be. And that is where God wants us to go back to. That's why Jesus, like I said, he was saying statements like, go speak to the mountains. He says, go. If you have faith as little as a mustard seed, which basically if you have the littlest of faith, which means you don't even need it, you got it in you when you are restored, when you are inside me. You can become everything. You can speak to the mountains. You can speak to the situations in your life. How do we get here? How do we get to the place where we can be restored? How do we get to the place where we can be renewed? We can be re-empowered. The Bible says that it is near unto your heart, even unto your mouth, that if you believe that Jesus Christ came, that he died on the cross for your sin, then you shall be saved. If you believe that everything that he did was about you, that he's coming and he's dying on the cross was about you, then your salvation comes. Then your restoration comes. Guys, listen. I drive a Land Rover. And on the dashboard, it says it can drive up to 210 miles. The law makes me drive it up until 90 miles an hour. I did not confess that, did I? But the car has got potential. The limitations that are in place makes me only drive it up to a certain level. Somebody told me that my iPhone, that the computers that were used to take people to the moon, they had less capacity than my iPhone 6. Which means your iPhone 6 has got so much capacity, what you're using is just but a minute of it. My car has got so much capacity, it can drive up to 210 miles an hour, but because of the limitations, I can only drive it up to 90. What we are, what we have been living, how we have been living our lives outside of God is we have been living in the limitations that the law has given us, the limitations that sin has given us. And now what Jesus Christ is doing as he raises from the dead, as he rises up, he's saying, listen, there is no more law. He says, there is no more limitation. There is, you can become everything that I ever created you to be. You can drive as much as 210 because that is what I created you to do. Don't do that. He's saying, I created you with a certain capacity inside of you. But because of everything else that has been going on, every sin that has been binding you, you can only do up to this limit. I am opening the box. I am setting you free. That is why the Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus Christ resurrecting and declaring, I have got the power now. I have got the key now. Satan has got nothing on you. The powers of hell have got nothing on you. Disease has got nothing on you. You are free to live and be everything that God created you to be. We cannot afford to continue living in defeat as children of God. We cannot continue to living as slaves when we have been set free. See, the way they train elephants, as baby elephants, they tie them on a very, very small rope. And because they can never pull this rope, when they become big elephants, they just leave them on the same rope. And every time they just touch it, they're like, I've never pulled that. I can't pull that peg. Jesus Christ has come to say to you and me, there is no peg. We can move, we can explore, we can become everything that we were created to be. What does that mean for me as a believer? It means that I start living a life of freedom. Freedom not to sin. Freedom to live for God, where I am walking as a child of God. I'm walking in the liberty and the joy of salvation. I am walking in praises and settling, because I know that somebody has got power, and whoever has got the power has got my back. We are not walking like the world is walking. We are not walking in the blindness anymore. We are saying, I can be able to see. Like Adam, we are saying, I can be able to name anything that I want, and I can give it whatever name I want. Which means you are saying to a disease, listen to me, I am calling you healed. And it becomes healed. Ah, come on, come on, come on, come on. How I pray that you can capture this in your spirit. That you say, you know what, I can declare things. That is why faith is the substance on things I'm saying. We're just declaring them into being when they're not. We are naming stuff. Oh my goodness. Because we have first chosen to be in Christ. Because we are first chosen to say, Lord, I am here. That's that first step. Have you accepted Jesus in your life? Because, brethren, listen. There was a family in 1925, I've talked about this before, that bought a ticket to a ship. And as the voyage began, about 12 days into the voyage, they were in their bunk. They were hungry and thirsty. And the guy who was passing by asks them, what's going on? Almost dying, the children were malnourished. And she says, we do not have any food. And the guy says, how don't you have food? Says, we do not have any money. We meant to come with my husband, and he had all the money. But for some reason, he was left. He went to pick up something, and the ship left before he came on board. And the guy said, do you have tickets for this particular ship? He says, yeah, we do. He says to them, if you're in this ship and you bought a ticket, everything in this ship you can possess, you can partake of, you can have, you can own, you can drink whatever you want to drink, you can eat whatever you want to drink because you bought a ticket. Sometimes, as believers, we operate like, you know, have you ever seen my grandma use a remote control? You know what a remote control can do? A lot. But my grandma, it is the red button that says on, and then the volume button. That's all she uses. It has changing channels. It has all that. Never uses it. Sometimes as believers, we are in Christ, but we are so not utilizing the potential and the capacity that God has put in us by being in Christ Jesus. We are just hitting the red button and the volume button alone when we could do so much more. Sometimes you haven't explored your ministry. I love God for the worship ministers and those kids, man. God bless you, that family. Sometimes maybe God has blessed you in that way and you are too shy. You just sit back in the chair. I love AJ here. He came into the church this morning, and this is the first time I met him. And he asked me, can I play the keyboard? See, he understands what he has inside of him. He understands his purpose. And he's like, it doesn't matter that I've never met this guy. This is who I have been created to be. I can explore it. I can expose myself. I can go for what I have been created to be, because I know that I am a new creature. The old is gone. The limitations are gone. The law is gone. I am being set free. I have been set free. Will you stand up on your 2 feet? I want to pray for some people here. I want to pray for the first person. Is the person who you know you have not accepted Jesus in your life. Because you see, it all begins when we accept Jesus. It all begins when we create that relationship with him. It's when you are restored. It's when you are renewed. It's when you are empowered. It's when the restoration happens. And the redemption is when we begin by knowing Jesus. That's the first person I want to pray for. The second person I want to pray for is a person that has been born again for a while now, but their grandma's remote control, or these like duct tape covering all the other keys, and the only key on there is the red one and the volume key. I want to pray for that person. You've been born again for a while, but you have not explored what it is you can get from this salvation or from being born again. In fact, this person that I want to pray for specifically is this person that has given their lives to Christ, but it feels like they don't even understand the difference. It feels like they have never seen the difference. It's like, I've not seen, really not much has changed, I guess. That's the second person I want to pray for. So I'm going to invite the worship team up here. They have, as they lead us into worship, I want to be praying for those people. And what you will do as they come behind me, you will come here and be ministered to. See, Jesus Christ is here today, and he wants to bring that renewal in you. He wants to bring that salvation in you. He wants to bring that joy of Christ in you. He wants to redeem you and to restore you. I'm sorry, I didn't prepare them for this. But I know that God has got this person in mind, and he wants to minister to this particular person. And I would like to invite the church to pray. Wherever you are, just pray. We have a few minutes here. Or maybe we are too much into time, but that's okay. I want to invite you to pray. I want you to tell Jesus, Jesus, what is my potential? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to accomplish? Jesus, you have the power. What does that mean to me as an individual? Me as Dan, what does that mean for me? That you have the power, that you have the keys. Isaiah chapter number 22, verse 22. The Bible says he has got the keys. has the keys, he has authority.
You have no rival. You stand alone. The heavens worship before your throne. There is no
God, we come to you this hour declaring you King. Lord, you have authority in heaven and on earth, which means that everything that goes on around here, Daddy, you are aware and you got it. Everything that goes on in the heavens, Jesus, you have authority there too. You can alter things there. You can alter things here. And today, my Father, for your daughter that is standing in the presence, Lord, that her life is changed, her story is changed in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, today you begin an authorship of another story. Father God, for deliverance has happened, restoration has happened, and purpose has been implanted in our spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Daddy, we exalt you today because you're faithful. You have done a work that no man can do in our midst today. Father God, as she starts and she continues to do the things that she never did before, the Lord, it's to your glory. We love you, Father, and we worship you. Thank you so much, my Father God, for this man. Thank you for his destiny is in your hands. Thank you so much, Jehovah Lord Almighty, even as you continue blessing his ministry of music, my Father, that it shall be to your glory and honor. Father, I pray that you will anoint him, anoint his fingers, anoint his heart, and set him apart for your purposes, beginning now and even into eternity. Because the Bible says, behold, I am with you even until the end of the earth. Father, we love you and we worship you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we bless you today. There is no one like Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Bible says he is worthy. And today the theme has been he is worthy. I want to tell you something. He has got the keys, which means he's worthy. He is the CEO, the boss. Amen. I want us to pray, even as we close our service this morning.